WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
The pandemic continues apace, and we're learning about vaccination and about that percentage of patients who have what are called long-haul symptoms. I recently spoke again with my friend and colleague, Dr. Vineet Arora, a faculty member in the Department of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine here at UK, about the COVID-19 pandemic, vaccinations, and long-haul symptoms. Vineet, thank you very much for talking with me again. It's been a couple of months since we last spoke, and was hoping that you could give us a little bit of an update on the state of the pandemic here and abroad.
Always a pleasure, Greg. Yes, 2 months is a very long time in this pandemic, and we've seen every 1 month or every few weeks there are newer developments. And this time, it's a mixed bag. For the U.S., it's been a good recovery. We've seen vaccinations being available for anyone who is 12 and above. And fortunately, a lot of people have started accepting vaccines. We still have a long way to go, but we are close to around 40% vaccinated in Kentucky, fully vaccinated. And based on the age groups in Kentucky, we know 81% of people more than 65 years of age and 55% more than 18 years of age have received at least one dose of vaccination. So that's good signs. And we have seen some announcements and decisions and changes in guidelines based on the fact that the vaccination rates are going up, and also to encourage others who are not vaccinated as of now but are eligible and able to get vaccinated so that we can increase these numbers and provide protection. So what is happening is, instead of mandating things, it is now in the hands of individuals to take personal responsibility and make those choices. When we talk about the world per se, we've seen a resurgence of COVID-19 at places where it was well controlled. India being a prime example, where for almost a year things were all under control, but suddenly beginning of March there was an increase, and there was sudden doubling of numbers, and they surpassed all the historic numbers, high numbers that they had seen. Things are starting to get a little better there, but we see these pockets of resurgence in various parts of the world, which also re-emphasizes the point that we cannot give everything up, and we cannot put down our guard totally. We still need to be aware. There can be changes in the virus which may lead to local outbreaks, and then there can be a lack of vaccination in some areas where the virus can show resurgence.
Well, and that's, that's something I wanted to touch base with you about, because even though things are opening up and mask mandates are seeming to be falling by the wayside, we still need to be careful and consider just those data points that you were talking about.
Yes, and I think the thought behind lifting the mask mandates probably was to encourage people to get vaccinated, and vaccinated people will be able to resume a lot of normal activities per se. But again, we have to be really careful. I think there are a couple of aspects to this. One is that not everyone is eligible for vaccine at this time. So we know that kids up to the age of 11 years, they are not eligible yet. The trials are still going on. So that constitutes around 70 to 20% of population in Kentucky. So we have to be aware of that and be cognizant that they are still vulnerable. So if only a subset of population is not vaccinated, then they become even more at risk. So we have to be very careful about that. And then also, I think it is about being smart with the decisions that we make. Use of mask, even if it is not a mandate anymore, it is a good idea to use it at places where you think there is a lot of overcrowding and there can be still exposure because we still have community transmission. It's not gone. We're getting there. We are getting better, but we still have areas where we need to be a little careful. And also, I think one part I would really like to mention is also be respectful of the fact that everyone has a different level of threat perception, and also everyone has a different level of risk factors. So they should be allowed to make that choice, and we should be respectful of people's choice to continue wearing a mask in different situations, and not see that as going against the wave. So everyone should be given the opportunity to wean it as they see deem fit, because it's been a long time, and it is difficult to just give up things and not feel the threat.
I am so glad to hear you say that, Vineet, because in the midst of trying to calculate risk, I'm one of those who would rather err on the side of safety. And I think you and I have spoken offline about this in the past. Just in typical flu seasons, it seems like it might be a good idea going forward for those who wish to mask to be able to do so without raising any eyebrows from their peers. And that's something that that I'll certainly be considering doing, just from the data of how many fewer cases we had this year of flu.
That's absolutely correct. I think at least this part is clearly demonstrated that the respiratory infections, other than COVID, they were all down during these past several months. Flu, for sure, is the prime example, whereas we would see tens of thousands of cases during the flu season in the state. This year, they have been like double digits and very few. The entire country has seen one pediatric death due to flu this year, whereas earlier it used to be such a high number. So it is a learning process. We have found that these things work. So it is okay to use them for personal protection. And also, we don't know if there are people in your family or you are around who have immune suppression for some reason, and you have younger kids, especially during this time when they are not vaccinated for COVID. I think these are situations that we have to make these personal decisions. And I, for sure, just like you said, I'm going to keep using them judiciously at places where I feel they're needed.
And Vineet, I wanted to ask you a little bit of a pivot point here in talking about COVID long haul symptoms. We've been hearing a lot of reports over the last months of neurologic and cardiologic issues that affect a percentage of people who've contracted the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in some of our previous discussions, we had discussed that initially thought to be a respiratory illness, COVID-19, we now know is a multi-organ disease, and it can impact so many different parts of the body. And some of them you mentioned include the neurological symptoms that we see, and also impact on the heart. And part of this is because these viruses, they attach on ACE receptors, which are distributed widely across our body, and that's why a lot of other organs are involved. And we've seen that there are patients, we still don't know who will be a long-haul patient and who is more at risk to being a long-haul. So there, we've seen a proportion of patients who have not gotten over their symptoms after several months. And some of these include neurological symptoms, and it could be related to a generalized symptoms as well, like fatigue doesn't go away. And then respiratory symptoms, you never feel that you can breathe with the same ease that you did before COVID. And there are symptoms like memory fade and other neurological symptoms. So we don't know exactly who will get these symptoms and how long they will last. So again, getting the disease and getting that immunity is not a good way of becoming immune. Getting a vaccine is the best way to save us. And now we know, even if you have had COVID once, you can have it again. And we don't know what is the risk of developing a long haul COVID after a second infection or a reinfection. So keeping all that in mind, getting vaccination is the best way to protect ourselves. And we know that vaccine protection is definitely longer lasting than natural infection. We've seen that in the past 6 to 9 months. And soon we will know how long does the vaccine immunity protect us completely, and then base the future plans according to that.
My thanks today to Dr. Vineet Arora, faculty member in the Department of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine, for talking with me again about the current state of the pandemic here and abroad, vaccination, long-haul symptoms, and more. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.